Okay, well, we are in lesson 12 in our series. And by way of introduction and just recap, let's turn back to our passage, 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, if you would. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. And we are in lesson 12 in our series, Field Training. This year, our theme being working the field, reaching the lost is what we're after. The field is the lost, and they need the Lord. And they're not going to go look for him on their own. We need to bring God to them, and we need to work the field. And working the field is more than just harvesting, although harvesting is the goal, right? But it involves, before harvest, it involves work, lots of work. It involves plowing, it involves planting, it involves watering and weeding, and then praying for the harvest. Because God, I mean, we can do all the work that we want, but without God giving the increase, it's not going to happen. So we pray for God to do that and to work in the hearts of the lost as we work the field. And so here in lesson 12, what we're doing is we're starting a little mini-series last week on getting to know the lost. And we said last week that really what we're called to do, we're going to read here in a moment, that we're ambassadors. We're called to be ambassadors for Christ. And what that really means is bringing a message to the lost and helping the lost get to know God. So let's read our verses here. If you would stand whenever you find your spot, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we'll read our two verses, and then we'll talk about that and finish up our series. Lord willing, this lesson today. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, looking at verse number 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. And again, I tell you, this is not a suggestion. It's not even a command. It's just a statement of fact. If you're saved, you are an ambassador for Christ. You represent your sovereign. You don't live here. You're citizens of heaven, and you're here on a mission from your sovereign to represent him. And so you represent God, whether you like it or not. Now, what we're supposed to be doing as ambassadors is this. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, on Christ's behalf, here's our message, be ye reconciled to God. So God has called us to call the lost to be reconciled with God. And what that means is we're at war with God when we're lost. When we're born, we're at war with God because we're sinners and he's holy. But God doesn't want that war to be there. He wants peace. He wants reconciliation. And so what we need to do is bring these two people together. And God made a way for that. Verse 21. For he hath made him, so that's God the Father had made him, God the Son, Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And so God wanted to be... He wanted peace so bad with the lost, and really, we're going to put it this way, he wants to be friends. He doesn't want to be at war. He doesn't want to be an enemy of the lost. He wants to be friends with the lost so badly that he came and died, listen, died for his enemy so that his enemy could be his friend. That's what God did. And then he called us to be about telling them about that. And so we're called to be ambassadors, and we'll say that more about that in a moment. Let's pray. And we will talk more about it. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the gospel that we just really recounted. That God, we're just humbled and just honestly floored in awe that God, you would come to this earth and die for us who don't deserve it. And all so that just we can have a chance to be your friend, to be in fellowship with you, to dwell with you for eternity. We're just thankful for it. Help us to get a hold of that and be thankful and also burdened, God, for the lost in our life. We need you. For that, in Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. So, as ambassadors, our message is very simple. Here's what's happening. When in evangelism, in reaching the lost, here's what's happening. You have God, and you have the lost, and you have us. We're kind of in the middle here. And God and the lost are at war. They're enemies. but not because God wants to be their enemy, but because mankind has made themselves God's enemy and rejected him. But God loves them, and God wants to be friends with them. And God has called us to make that happen. What do you mean? Well, God, even though maybe in our minds this might be better in some way, so let's not question God. He knows better than us. But God has decided he is not going to come to this person and introduce himself to the lost. He's not going to do that. That's not how he works. Now, he revealed that he exists to the lost. And he's given his creation, and he works in certain ways so that the lost know he's real. But the lost is never going to get to know him by God introducing himself to them. God doesn't show up in dreams and visions. God doesn't show up as an angel. He doesn't do that. He doesn't speak audibly to people anymore. And even, by the way, when he did that, it was to save people. God is not going to show up and introduce himself to the lost. He doesn't do that. The lost is not going to look for him. The lost isn't going to seek God out and introduce themselves to God. And so what we need to do then, what we're called to do, and God's plan is for us to introduce the lost to God. That's our goal. That's our job. We're called to introduce the lost to God. That's introducing is that, isn't it? Bringing two people together so that they can know each other and hopefully be friends. Right? And when you introduce two people, here's what you know. You know this person, you're their friend. And you know this person, you're their friend. And your job then is to bring these people together and say, hey, you should be friends. And that's what we're doing with the lost. And so what we said last week is if we're going to be effective in that, then God says we need to know him, and then we need to know the lost. And then we bring them together. It's not very effective if you go, okay, you know the lost, and you have a friend in your life that you care about, and then you say, hey, there's a guy over there. I don't know him very well, but he seems cool. You should get to know him. That's not a good way to introduce your friend to somebody. And if you don't know God well, this whole thing doesn't work. You need to be close friends with God. But it also doesn't work to say, hey, random dude, you should come meet my friend. Well, we're not even friends, right? And so you need to know them well, you need to know him well, and then you can introduce them to each other. You see it? This is what evangelism truly, in the end, it is. And it's God's plan. I mean, in some ways, I wish maybe God would just come and do that himself, but he's called us to. How do you know that? Because the Bible says, how shall they call on him who they have not heard? Right? How shall they call on him who they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him who they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a what? Preacher. That verse doesn't make sense if God's going to take care of all that. God's plan is for us to bring the gospel to the lost. God's plan is for us to introduce the lost to him. And to do that effectively, you need to know God. You need to know the lost. We did a whole mini-series on getting to know God, and that's important for us as evangelists, if you will, as people who want to reach the lost. We need to know God well so that we can introduce the lost to him. But then also that helps because that's how we're going to introduce the lost to him. We're going to show them who he is. But we did a whole mini-series on getting to know God. So now this series is this, getting to know the lost. We need to get to know the lost, don't we? We need to. And so we dealt with John chapter 1. So if you have your notes, if you don't have your blanks, I think, if I remember right, we're on number 3, right? And we gave you that blank, right? Number 1 in our notes, you'll see, to introduce two people, you have to know both of them. And then we went to John 1, and the point there is you can start with people you already know. If you want to introduce the lost to God, well, hopefully you already know God. If you don't know God well, get to know him well first, okay? Do that first. But if you know God well and you have a burden for the lost, well, you can start with people you already know. You already know people who don't know Christ. And so you can start this process right now. We looked in John 1 that John the Baptist he knew God well, and he had two disciples, more than that, probably, but John, the Apostle John, and Andrew were with him. And when John the Baptist saw that Jesus was the Christ, right, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world," what did he do immediately? Well, he immediately got on introducing people he already knew to Jesus, didn't he? And he introduced his followers, people he had influence over. Well, we all have people we have influence over. And so whenever John introduced Andrew to Christ, Andrew became a follower of Christ. And what did Andrew immediately do? He went and got his brother Peter, Simon at the time. And he introduced his family. Why? Because he already knows his family. He already knows Simon. And now he knows Christ, and so now he wants them to be introduced to each other. And you have family, probably, that doesn't know Christ. And so if you know Christ well, and you know your family well, then you're in a good position where you can introduce them to each other. And then whenever Peter knew Christ, so we have Andrew and Peter, they knew Christ. What did they do? They went and found their co-worker, Philip, who lived in the same, that little fishing town, no doubt fished together since birth, and they weren't family with Philip, but they knew Philip well. They had a relationship with Philip, and so they introduced this man they knew well, Philip, to another man they know well, Jesus Christ. And then what did Philip do? He found his friend, Nathanael, and introduced his friend, who he already knew well, to Christ. You see it? Family, co-workers, friends. We have people in our life that we know well, and we need to be about introducing them to Christ. And you might be saying, "Well, I don't know how to do that." Well, we're going to do a whole lesson or two on just how to do that, on dealing with people you already know well. We will give you all the tools that we can possibly give you to help you to turn that relationship into this, a gospel relationship. And we saw last week that every relationship we have, we need to see it first as a gospel relationship. And I'm glad you have family, and family is important. Friendships are important. But more important than they're your family is that they're lost. You see? More important that they're your friends is that they're lost. And what I'm telling you is, your relationship with him, with your friend, your family, is nowhere near as important as the relationship they have with God. And that's most important. And so you need to make each relationship that way. And you're kind of like fishing for men, huh? And it's, you know, you might feel a little bit deceptive, like I'm using this just for, well, no, it's good. You use your relationship for the gospel. That's why God gave them to you, so that you can use them to introduce Christ to them. That's what you need to do. Yep. So there you go. And we'll talk about that. So you see the relationships you have already as a gospel relationship. But then some of you are going to have a lot of people in your life that don't know Christ. Some of you are maybe not going to have that many people in your life that don't know Christ. For example, all of my coworkers are saved. You know, Brother Tim and Brother Mike and Miss Cindy. And so, I don't have a coworker as well, right? Or some of you, most of your family maybe is saved, at least your immediate family. Or you don't have a lot of friends who aren't saved. And so, you might be in a spot, well, what do I do? Well, here's what we need to do. Well, you need to go get some gospel relationships then. If you don't have a gospel relationship already, we're going to define it this way. A gospel relationship is a relationship that you are using to get the gospel to somebody. Okay? Now, of course, two saved people can have a relationship around the gospel. But don't mess it up. Don't mess me up, okay? We're talking about with a lost person. And if you don't have a relationship with a lost person where you are actively trying to introduce that person to Christ, yeah, we'll get there. Then you need to get them. Okay? You need to create more gospel relationships. That's number three. So we'll be in Luke 10. Now, I'm not going to read all the passages, all the verses in Luke 10. We'll reference things here and there, but if you want to turn to Luke 10, that's where we'll be for most of the rest of our sermon today, or our lesson. Luke chapter 10. So, letter A in our notes. Be more. Create more gospel relationships. If you don't have that, letter A is this. Be intentional. Be intentional. Be intentional about getting to know lost people so that you can introduce them to Christ. Like we said last week, in Christianity and in churches, there's like this spectrum from conservative to liberal. And conservative Christianity, you know, we're really big on knowing God well, and we should be. But sometimes we get so caught up in knowing God well and studying the Word and getting the deep things of God, which is all important. Sometimes we forget to know the lost. You see? And we get that mentality. Us four, no more, we'll just grow, you know, that way. Liberal Christianity has gone the other way, and they're so interested in reaching the lost that they don't know God well. That's not good. And you're not helping. What we need to do is know God well, and then as we get to know the lost, our goal is we get to know the lost. Why? So that we can introduce them to Christ. And if you want to reach lost people, and if you want to develop relationships with lost people, and your whole reason for having lost friends is so that they can know Christ, that's going to change how you make friends with the lost. We're not just making friends with the lost just to make friends with the lost. We're not going to go to the bar and hang out and have a beer with them. Oh, I'm just going to have a, you know, a, what do they call those things? I don't even want to know what they call it, without the alcohol in them. And then we will just have a good, no. We don't need to be doing what they're doing, sinful things, right? There's plenty we can build relationships around without crossing lines. You know, we don't need to go, if your coworkers are gossiping about somebody, we don't need to jump in that conversation and start gossiping with them so that we can reach them. You know what I'm saying? We need to be among them, but not of them, but be among them. But we do need to reach out to them. And there's ways to have relationships with the lost without compromising your walk with God. And so be intentional about getting to know the lost people. Why? So that you can introduce them to Christ. It's the whole thing. And by the way, it'll also help you to know if you're doing this wrong, if you will not talk about Christ because you don't want to lose that relationship. Well, hold on. That's the whole reason you have the relationship, is so that you can talk about Christ with them. You see. So anyways, you need to do that. So in John 1, we saw an example of Jesus' disciples introducing people they already knew to Christ. We mentioned that. Luke 10 gives us a different example, one where Jesus' disciples were sent to introduce people they didn't know yet to Christ. That's what happened in Luke 10. Let it be. In Luke 10, Jesus sent the 70. He sent the 70 into cities and towns to prepare the towns to meet Jesus. And they were sent ahead of Jesus to places where Jesus would go. Okay, so the idea is whenever Jesus would pass through these towns, there would be people who already knew who Jesus was and were ready to be introduced to him. Their mission was to prepare the people in these towns for his arrival, and they did it by creating relationships and softening hearts. And so just think of this. You're going two by two into this place, and you need to introduce these people to Christ. Well, you already know Christ. You're his disciple. But to introduce them to Christ, what do you need to do then? You got to get to know them. And that's exactly what Jesus sent them to do, to get to know them. And the people in these towns were most likely strangers, their disciples. But the task was the same. Build gospel relationships that would lead to introducing the lost to Christ. That is your whole purpose of being on this planet Earth right now. Building relationships with the lost so that you can introduce them to Christ. And so if you already have a relationship with them, then it's easier. You can just turn those into gospel relationships. But if you don't know them yet, you got to get to know them first. And that's what Jesus sent them to do. The letter C, the instructions Jesus gave them were very interesting. And I want to say this, we're not called to do exactly what Jesus instructed them to do. But the process is the same. And what it does is it lays out a pattern. That's the blank. It lays out a pattern for us to follow as we reach the lost. So we'll give you the principle and then we'll explain how that worked and how it works for us, okay? So the first thing is they made themselves vulnerable. Now, we preached this a few months ago, so you're really good and remember all my sermons. I don't even remember all my sermons. Then this might be some overlap, but it's good for us to hear these more than once. So they made themselves vulnerable. V-U-L-N-E-R-A-B-L-E. Jesus said this to them, "Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves." Lambs among wolves. So vulnerable, right? That's what a lamb is, among wolves. So they were supposed to be exposed. They were supposed to be vulnerable to these people. And so because of that, Jesus said to bring no supplies. I should say no. They were to bring no supplies with them. They were to bring no money, no bag, no extra sandals, just one pair of sandals. And then the reason for that is they were supposed to depend entirely on the hospitality of the people they met. They needed to get to know them. And to do that first, they had to be vulnerable. And so that vulnerability that they had laid the foundation for trust and for relationship. Okay? And then number three, when they were received into a house, they got to know the people of that house personally. That's the blank. Personally and intimately. And so they go into this house. They don't have anything. Now, if you remember when we preached this, they knock on the door and they say, "Peace into this house. Please receive us." Because if they don't, they have no food. They have nothing. And so he says, when they receive you, now they're not all going to, but if they do, now you need to do this. Under number three, number one there, Jesus instructed them, and in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. I think it's funny, oftentimes, now I think going house to house and with the gospel, knocking doors, all of that, there's a good place for that. We do walk a block. I'm not against it at all, but the guys who are really big into this, and the door knocking, use this passage. He says, "I'm not two by two," and go to house to house. But Jesus said, no, actually, don't go house to house. Go to a house and stay there and get to know that person, you see. That's what Jesus said. If they receive you, remain there. Stay with these people, number two. They were to stay with the people, share meals with them, and spend enough time with them to get to know them. Evangelism, soul winning, is not this, bunk, bunk, bunk. Hey, random person, have you ever met Christ? If you were to die right now, would you go to hell? Well, let me help you just to fix that. That there's a lot of people who were, huge air quotes, saved because a person went to their house, bunk, bunk, bunk. If you were to die today, you know you're going to go to hell. Well, I didn't know that, but that's not good. Well, good news, Jesus died for you, so just pray this prayer right here, and you're saved. Oh, well, that's a good, I mean, I don't want to go to hell, so I'll just pray that prayer. You're saved! No. No. They did not, they might have called. Listen, they might have called, but there's not a good shot they actually believed. There's a really bad shot they even understood. We need to help them understand the gospel, help give them time to believe the gospel, and then when that happens, they'll call out. And the best avenue to do that is through a good relationship like this, you see. And so we need to get to know them. And so they would bunk, 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 peace be into this house, be received into the house, eat with them, stay with them for multiple days. And number three, as they ate and drank with the family, here's what would happen. The formality of hosting would wear off. You know how it is. You have a guest you don't know, you bring them in, and you make them think that you are all put together, right? And, you know, it's like Instagram in person, right? Let me just show you who I'm not for a little bit. But if that person stays around for a couple days, that front we put on only lasts a little while, right? And as these disciples entered this person's house and began to eat with them and began to talk with them and began to stay with them and remain there for a while, eventually that facade would break down and they would get to know the real person that's hosting them. You see it? And you have friendships, you have acquaintances where you don't know each other very well. They're putting on a face to you. Maybe they know you're a Christian and they act a certain way. and they're putting this thing on, but you need to remain in that relationship for a little while. You need to get to know that person a little while, and after a while, the facade will begin to wear, and you'll begin to know them personally, and now you're ready to get the gospel to them. You see it? Yeah. And they would get to know each other on a deeper personal level. Here's really how it goes. You enter a relationship with vulnerability like these guys did. You be vulnerable, and what will happen is eventually they'll begin to trust you because you're trustworthy, right? You're not trying, you know, there's people who try to build fake trust and then get them. You know what I'm saying? We're not about that. So be genuine, be vulnerable, and as they get to know you, there's a good chance they'll begin to be vulnerable themselves, and they'll open up to you, and you'll have a relationship, a genuine relationship with them. Which is number four, from a place of trust and genuine relationship, they preach the gospel. So as people entered the house, they ate with them. And after they built that trust, they were able to show that their message came from God by healing the sick. That's what Jesus said. After all of that, you heal the sick, you do the miracles, validate the word of God, and then teach them about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God was pretty far down the line as list of things to do, right? First, enter their house, then get to know them, then validate the word, then preach the gospel. That's what Jesus said. And they would heal the sick, and that demonstration that demonstrated the power of God, and it authenticated the message they were about to deliver. So I'm going to say this again. They did not have the word of God like we do. These disciples did not have the New Testament. This message that Jesus was teaching was brand new. And there were a lot of people out there claiming to be from God. And so Jesus gave them the ability to heal the sick and perform miracles so that they would know this message is from God. So we don't do that anymore. The healings and the miracles and the tongues and all of that is gone because we have a authenticated, validated word of God right here. And you do not need to validate this. You just teach it to them. You can show them why it's true. There's plenty of proofs to show them and convince them that this is the word of God. But you don't have to do any kind of circus to make them know you're from God. You just preach the word to them. But that's what they did. So number two, after they developed a genuine relationship and authenticated the message, they taught the kingdom of God. So I hope you're seeing this method for us. We're going to lay it out for you. Okay. So letter D, that process is the same for us today. So again, although we're not called to heal the sick, and by the way, we're not called to rely entirely on the hospitality of strangers. We don't have to go places without and not bring any preparation. When you go and walk a block, you can bring a water bottle with you, okay? Let's not get heat stroke or something, all right? Be prepared. That's not what this is about. But the process, though, is the same as we, and a pattern for us to follow as we reach the lost. So, we are called to engage in meaningful, intentional gospel relationships. That's the point. Gospel relationships. We're called to make ourselves vulnerable. We need to be vulnerable. And then to develop personal relationships with the lost. And if you're going to develop a genuine relationship with someone, vulnerability is key. You have to be that way. If you've been hurt in the past, can I just tell you? I'm going to set you at ease. You're going to get hurt again. It's going to happen. But God is good. And God can help you through those things. But we need to make ourselves vulnerable to people and build real relationships with them. We're not salesmen at the door. We can't reach people by staying detached or distant. We got to be vulnerable. We got to be. Number three, we need to invest in people's lives. We need to get to know them. And we need to let them see who we really are, who we really are. Building relationships takes time and effort, but it's through these personal connections that trust is established. And then from that place of trust, there's the blank, from that place of trust and personal relationship, we're called to give the gospel. See that? Just like the disciples, once we've developed trust with someone, we're in a good place to share the message of salvation with them. People are much more likely to listen to the truth of the gospel when it comes from someone they trust and that they know cares about them. And so our role then is not just to give information about God, but is to introduce, remember, we're introducing the lost to the life-changing power of Jesus in a personal, relational way. Again, this is so personal, and God meant it to be that way. It's personal. And when it's personal, there's risk of hurt, there's risk of them rejecting you, there's risk of them stabbing you in the back. This happens to Jesus' disciples. Jesus said it would happen. He said they'll reject you. He said, if they rejected me, they're going to reject you. If they hurt Christ, who only loved them, they're going to hurt you too. But we need to be willing to go through that kind of suffering so that the lost have a chance to be saved. We have to be. You got to be personal. And again, we're going to give a whole lesson on that. We're going to give a whole lesson on how to develop real, genuine relationships with the lost. We're going to talk about how to have a conversation with a lost person, a conversation where they're actually going to want to talk to you again. You know, that's good. We should start there. We'll talk about that. Some of us are socially awkward. Some of us are introverts. I'm sorry. We just got to work through that. Let's acknowledge that. Yeah, I'm not good at developing relationships with people. Acknowledge that. But then we got to work on that. If you're already a social butterfly, use that gift for the Lord. But if you're not, we can't be content just to say, well, I'm just not somebody who's supposed to reach the lost. Yes, you are. And we just need to work on it. And we'll give you tools. Okay? But we got to get to know the lost. So, number four, practical application. Here's what we need to do. Keep a list. That's the blank. Keep a list of five people you're actively trying to introduce to God. Now, can it be more than five? Sure. But let's get at least five. And if you have too much more than that, it's going to be hard to develop genuine, deep relationships with more than five people. You see? So let's get five people, okay? And get a list going. It's our October focus, work in the field focus. Five people. So in letter A, start with those you already know well. That's the blank. You already know. There are some lost people that you already have a deep, personal, genuine relationship with them. And so you're on a good start with them. Start with them. Pray about how you can, from this place of genuine relationship and trust, introduce them to God. I'm glad you have a good relationship with them. You've got to begin at some point talking about the Lord. And we're going to show you how to do that. Letter B. Reach out to acquaintances and deepen relationships. That's the blank. So there's some you already have a deep relationship with, some you have an acquaintance with, but you don't have a real relationship with them, you see. And so put them on the list. And then pray about this with them. How can I develop a deep, genuine relationship with them? Okay? You see in the flow. So if you already have a relationship, you need to pray that God would help you open some doors, I guess, to start talking about the gospel. But if you have acquaintances and you don't know them well, we need to pray that you would be able to get to know them well. And again, we're going to give you tools for that. Letter C. Start new relationships. That's the blank. New relationships with those you don't know well. You don't know well. There are some people that you don't know at all. But maybe you have a burden for them. Put them on your list. Put them on your list. And pray about how that you can start a gospel relationship with them. Now, don't be weird, okay? Don't be stalking anybody. But pray that God would give you boldness to come talk to them, figure something out, have them over for lunch, do something. Maybe you need to go do less online shopping and more in-person shopping. Maybe you need to get out at the gas station and just look around and talk to somebody. You got to get to know people you don't know. Because if you don't, you're not going to be able to lead them to Christ. If you don't know them, you can't introduce them to someone you know. You see. So let's pray about that. Yeah. And then in our next lesson, again, we're going to show you how that you can do that. Have compelling conversations. Talk to somebody in a way that they actually want to talk to you. You know, sometimes we're just not good at conversation. Sometimes, let's be honest, we just come off crabby. And we're not thinking about other people. We're just doing whatever feels good, but not thinking about how it comes off. How it comes off matters. You say, well, I love them. Okay, well, they don't know that. So we need to work on that, you see. And I mean, we just have to be humble enough to say, I need to work on this. Sometimes. Maybe sometimes we just don't know what to say. We're going to give you some things to say. And you don't have to be good at this tomorrow, but we do need to work on it. We can all work on this, can't we? We can all work on this. And not only can we must, we have to work on this. If we don't know anybody, how are we going to be an ambassador? Right? If the president sent you to another country and you don't talk to anybody in that country, well, why did he send you there? And Christ sent you to this earth. I get it, you haven't been to heaven yet, but you're a citizen of heaven, and you're here to represent Christ. And if you don't talk to anybody, who are you representing him to? Nobody. So we got to do this, don't we? We got to get out of our comfort zone. We got to get out of our shell. And it's going to take work, but it's worth it. Worth it. So letter D, pray. That's what we need to do, pray. Pray for 5 gospel relationships. And again, if you can't think of one lost person with whom you have any kind of relationship, be praying about 5 people that you can start with, 5 people that you can get to know. And you know what? It's amazing what God will do if you pray about it. What you need to do is maybe ask, seek, and knock. And maybe there's some people in your life that God already wants to bring your way and build, and you're just not asking for it yet. You start praying about this, and you're serious, and you really want to do this, you'd be shocked how God works. So I'm looking forward to seeing how that all plays out. I will say this, next week, we're going to have Brother Sam Davison with us. So I'm very excited about that. So he'll be doing Sunday school and Sunday morning, Sunday night next week. The week after that is when we're going to start giving you some nuts and bolts about this. But none of the tools and helps we're going to give you is going to matter if you don't actually have a burden for the lost. And if you're not actually willing to try. And anything God wants you to do, you can do it with his help. So you need to believe that. Solomon told his son that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And Solomon's like, hey, I'm going to give you some proverbs here, but if you don't want to hear, if you've not already decided that God knows better than you, then these proverbs mean nothing. And as we give you these tools, if you don't actually believe that God has called you to this, if you don't actually believe that God will equip you to do this, then this Sunday school lesson is not going to be a big help. But take these next 2 weeks and just surrender to God. Say, God, I know you called me to this. And God, I know that if you've called me to this, then you will help me do it. We need to get there. And then these lessons are going to really mean something to you. So be in prayer about it that way. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you that you've called us to this great mission, God, to get to know the lost, and Lord, to introduce them to yourself. And Lord, there's so many in this world. God, we live in small-town Nebraska, but there's 4,500 people here, and most of them don't know you. And Lord, help us to get a burden for the lost. And how will they hear without a preacher? So Lord, help us to be ready to do that. Help us be willing to be sent and equipped to do this. And I pray that you bless the lesson series to come. And bless our day today. Christ and I pray. Amen. Amen. You're